I'm going to ask Ruth to read out the Bible passage in a moment, not yet, but I will ask Ruth to do that. Just giving you a heads up. Just thought I'd, you know, spring that on you. So, yet again, we find ourselves in a bit of a strange situation with Christmas approaching, and no doubt many of you who probably, if you're really well planned and prepared, you have made plans ages ago, only to find that you've had to slightly adjust your plans recently. And with so much news to be concerned about, with so much information being communicated, with so much, as it seems, darkness in the world, with so many things that could cause us to be fearful, things that could cause us to be anxious, things that could cause us to be worried and knock us off our step, a question arises is how should we approach Christmas this year when you've got a backdrop of anxiety and fear in the world and darkness in the world? How should we approach Christmas this year? We could approach it with a sense of fear and impending doom and think, well, this is happening in the world. I'm gonna just be consumed with fear. But as Christians, we need to remind ourselves that the world that we live in is temporary. We looked at this last week, that we should fix our eyes on things above, not on things below. We should remind ourselves, as it says in Philippians 3:2, but our citizenship, that is our legal standing, is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the enemy would want to distract us and pull us off that, and we must go to the Bible. And the Bible is the source of all hope and truth. If you're anxious and fearful and consumed with worries about all manner of things, then you need to go to the Bible, and you need to read the Bible and understand the Bible and look to the Bible, because it will speak hope to you. It will speak reassurance to you, because it's the Bible that gives us light. It's the Bible that makes us wise. It's the Bible that enables faith. And it's the Bible that rebukes us and corrects us and teaches us and all those things. It's the Bible. So go to the Bible if you need any of those things. And so this morning, I just want to offer some words of encouragement for the Christmas period. And as I said, there are so many distractions, aren't there, at Christmas time. So many dilemmas. So many things can occur at Christmas. But it's really important that we keep Jesus central to everything at this Christmas time. So important that, because it is a strategy of the enemy to get you focused on the tinsel and the plastic and the fluff of Christmas, the temporary stuff, the nice, you know, sparkly stuff of Christmas, the worldly stuff. The enemy will want to get you focused on that. He really will. He'll want to get you distracted by that. But we must keep Jesus central this time of year. We mustn't neglect the very central reason of Christmas. So what I want us to do is, if you can turn to the passage of Luke 2. I have it here, actually. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 25 to 38.
Okay. Lovely. Nothing like keeping me on my toes. You have to forgive me. My eyes are not the greatest at the moment, and I do need to get some glasses, so bear with me. Thanks, Matt. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ruth. So what I'd like us to do this morning is to help us prepare for Christmas. I want to help you to prepare for Christmas. I don't mean come around your house and peel spuds and wrap presents for you, but to get spiritually prepared for Christmas, because that's really important. And I want us to do that by looking at the story of Simeon and Anna and drawing some two really helpful insights from this passage. The first one I've called Get Filled Again. Okay, get filled again. Now, what's happened is Mary and Joseph, Jesus has been born to Mary and Joseph, and they're taking him to Jerusalem to make the appropriate sacrifices and dedication as, for being the firstborn male, they dedicate them, and they offer sacrifices and for the baby to be circumcised. And what we see is right from the beginning of our passage, we're told a number of things about this man, Simeon. We're not told a great deal about who he was in terms of social standing or what he did as a job or anything like that. But we're told a certain number of things about him. And one being that he was righteous and devout. And the other one being that the Holy Spirit was upon him. This was a man, as I said, we don't know too much about. We only have this window into this man's life in this particular moment. But we are told the important things about him. He was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And Simeon was a man who observed God's commandments. He followed God's commandments. Now, we know that he wasn't perfect because no one is perfect except Jesus. But he had a heart for God. He had a heart to follow God, to obey God, to follow God's commands. He was dedicated. That's what it means to be devout. It means to be dedicated. It means to be faithful. And we're told later that he was eagerly awaiting the promise of the coming Messiah. So you can see this general picture of a man who loves God, who's following God, he's devoted to God, he's dedicated to God, and he has a desire to see the outworking of the promises of God. Well, you may be thinking, well, how can it be possible that the Holy Spirit is on this man Simeon? There hasn't been the day of Pentecost, but we know that the Holy Spirit had been in work actually since the very beginning, since Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters. And we know that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people to do certain tasks. We think of people like Gideon, for instance. The Holy Spirit came upon him to do a certain task. You think of the craftsmen who built the tabernacle. The Holy Spirit came upon them to enable them to do those specific tasks. But now in the New Testament, we see there's been this 400 years of silence, no Holy Spirit's activity. And then all of a sudden, there's this explosion of Holy Spirit activity. And we have people like Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mum, in the previous passage, is filled with the Holy Spirit. And we see this man, Simeon, who the Holy Spirit is upon him. And not only do we see the Holy Spirit upon him, but the Holy Spirit is at work in him and reveals to him that he would see the Messiah before he dies. That's quite an incredible thing to have spoken to you, to know that God has revealed that to him by the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals truth. In a similar way, we see in regards to the Magi being spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Remember, they had those being warned in dreams, Matthew 2:12. Where, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Holy Spirit speaking to them, warning them, guiding them. And the Holy Spirit does that for us as well. As well as that, it says that Simeon was moved by the Spirit. There's a sense here that he goes into the temple courts at the same time when Mary and Joseph rock up. There's that sudden guidance by the Holy Spirit, prompting by the Holy Spirit. We're not told exactly how that worked out, but there is a sense there that Simeon must have been going about his business and he just feels prompted to, perhaps I should go here. And he goes there, and that's where he meets Mary and Joseph. It speaks to us also that we should be perhaps more open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit also in our own lives. So he goes to the temple courts at the same time when Mary and Joseph were there. They've never met one another. They're connected. They meet each other. And we're also told that Simeon, in verse 25, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means that he was looking forward to the Messiah. He was looking forward, as it says in the New Living Translation, it says he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. He obviously knew the Old Testament prophecies about one day, a Messiah would come. The Messiah would come and right every wrong. He would come and rescue. He would come and restore. He would come and put things right. And he was eagerly awaiting that. It says in Isaiah 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Passages like Micah 5, "Out of Bethlehem will come a ruler over Israel." So Simeon must have known these verses, must have looked at them and thought, one day, a rescuer is coming, a great king is coming. And that's important for us to know, because not only do we have Simeon here, this ordinary guy who the Holy Spirit is upon him, but also he knows truth. He knows the word. And that's really important for us as followers of Jesus, that we have the word and the spirit. That's really important for us as if we want to follow Jesus, we must hold these two as well. Simeon was a man who knew the promises. He knew the word, but he was also prompted by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. We too must be people of word and spirit. We can't be all word. Some people love the word, they get into the word, but to the neglect of the Holy Spirit. And if you have all word and no Holy Spirit, what you end up is dry, legalistic, it's just a sense of dryness and dustiness, because it's truth, but lacking the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and to bring life. We also can't be all spirit and no word. So you're just into the Holy Spirit, because that can tend to lead to lots of emotion, lots of feeling, it can just go into mysticism and sort of like, and it's based on nothing, because you haven't got the foundation of the word there. So that's really important for us as Christians today, to have word and spirit, to be people of the word and spirit. We need the two together. And we see a great outworking of this, for instance, in Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus. Because in the road to Emmaus, Jesus, what he does is, as he's walking along with the disciples, what does he do? Well, he expounds the word to them from Moses and the prophets, and he speaks about everything concerning Jesus. He speaks the word to them. But later on in the passage, what we see is, what do we hear? The testimony of those disciples: our hearts were strangely warmed in us. There's that sense of the Spirit of God bringing revelation of the word that was spoken. It was made real by the Holy Spirit. There's an impartation there. And so it's, as I said, word and spirit together. So important. So for us this Christmas, make sure that we are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get dry this season. Be like Simeon, who's full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is on him. The Holy Spirit is prompting him. We need the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians, the most famous verse on being filled with the Holy Spirit is that, it says, don't get drunk on wine, which is quite apt for this Christmas season. Don't get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Call out to God, to go, oh God, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh for this coming season. Fill me, because I know that for me to be enabled to be a witness, to be a light, to be a blessing to others, to be guided by you, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it in your own strength, getting through the Christmas season and with all that entails, maybe with family, maybe with arguments, maybe with all that stuff. We need to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's to get prepared for this Christmas season. Give some time for you to set apart and say, God, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh today. The second thing is this: get excited. And there's an overwhelming sense of, yeah, I know, as adults, it's as a kid, it's really easy to get excited, isn't it? Kids get excited about the smallest of things. You know, you bring them home a present, you give them a new toy, they see something new and amazing, they get really excited. New TV program, they're going to go and watch a film, they go to the cinema, they get exuberant, really excited. As adults, that tends to wear off a bit, doesn't it? Been there, done that. Hey, at Christmas time, get excited. If you cast your mind back some further back than others here, to Christmas as a child. Do you remember writing a list to Father Christmas? Writing a list of what you would like Father Christmas to give you? Do you remember those things that you wrote down? Do you remember talking about it at school? And do you remember the excitement building as that day approached, thinking, I wonder if I will get those things that I asked for? And then Christmas morning comes, and if you've got young kids, you'll know that you'd be up at early hours, coming in, terrorizing you, and some people, they're living with this at the moment, and just a great sense of excitement. You see it on the kids' faces. And what we see in our story here is this man Simeon, he's eagerly awaiting the consolation of Israel. He's eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come. We looked at those previous prophecies from Isaiah and Micah. Another one is Isaiah 40, where it says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Some of you may recognize it from Handel's Messiah. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Looking forward to the coming Messiah. That's why it's called the consolation of Israel, the comforter, the comforting of Israel, of God's people. And Simeon was one who was eagerly awaiting, like looking forward to Christmas. It's coming. It's coming. The Messiah's coming. And he was excited because he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was tuned in to what the Holy Spirit was saying, and he had the promises of God as well. And so here is a man who is full of faith and full of hope. That's why he is excited. So we understand why he's getting excited. But I believe God wants to say to us this morning that we should be a people who, particularly this Christmas, when there are so many reasons not to get excited, we should be a people who are excited because we're actually celebrating the coming of Jesus, of God taking on human flesh into the world, that God stepped down. That it's incredible. When you truly think about this, God became man, fully man, yet fully divine. Not just a shell of a human. He didn't come as a fully grown adult. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was fully man in every way. As I said, he wasn't just a shell of human. He wasn't impervious to human feelings or emotions or pain or temptations. He didn't just hover around in this basking glory. He didn't just move effortlessly around, and in everywhere he went, people would be going, amazed, because you see through his life that even his own brothers were like, what, really? What? Jesus? What, the Son of God? He was fully human. And this is important for us to know. It's important for us to know. And when we know this, we should get excited about it as well. And there's some important reasons for this. I just want to explain the reasons why we should get excited about Jesus, God, becoming flesh. Okay? These are key. First one is this. He obeyed when we disobeyed. All right? He obeyed when we disobeyed. It says in Romans 5 that because of the disobedience of Adam, the result of that disobedience was condemnation for all men. We know this. Adam and Eve, they messed up. What happened? Sin entered the world. And so did death and all that came with it. And it all trickled down to us, to every human being. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it says in this, Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man that many were made sinners, that's Adam, so also through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous. That one man, Jesus. So through the disobedience of one man, Adam, sin came, death, destruction, all of that, all that is wrong with the world. But through the obedience of one man, Jesus, who came, and that's why we're celebrating this Christmas time, because God came and took on human flesh, and he obeyed where we disobeyed. In what we failed to do, he accomplished, he succeeded. He led a sinless life, and he was obedient. He was obedient. He was obedient to the Father. He was obedient in every way. It says in Philippians 2, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is why. This is why we can get excited at Christmas. We disobeyed, we were dealt with the repercussions of that, but Jesus stepped in and he fully obeyed. And he has given people the opportunity for us to receive the benefits of that obedience. We messed up, but Jesus stepped in and said, no, I've got this. I've obeyed. I will stand in your place, obedient to death, even on a cross. So that's one reason why we can get excited. Okay, he obeyed when we disobeyed. But also this, he saves and he sympathizes. Now Jesus, being fully man, knows what we are going through. He knows what you are going through. I don't know what you are going through. Some of you have gone through stuff or going through stuff, been through stuff. I don't understand it. I wouldn't be able to comprehend it. Jesus does. Okay? Jesus does. Hebrews 2, verse 14. You may want to turn there because these are really important verses. When speaking about why we should get excited at Christmas and for God be taking on human flesh, Hebrews 2, 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful, faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. And then later on in Hebrews 4, he says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So when it comes to understanding what it means to be tempted, when it comes to understanding what you're going through, Jesus knows. You're suffering from grief, Jesus knows all about that. You're suffering from physical pain, Jesus knows all about that. You're suffering from rejection, Jesus knows all about that. Whatever you're suffering from, Jesus knows. He sympathizes because he took on human flesh. And the more you think about that, the more you can grasp that, the more wondrous Christmas becomes, because knowing that he did this for us, comprehending this and asking God to reveal this to us is just wonderful, isn't it? To know this brings really, it's wonderful to get excited about this. So it's really encouraging for us who are going through those situations? Is there one who really understands? Yes, there is. Jesus. Oh, he can fully sympathize. You're suffering from temptation? Jesus knows all about that. He saves and he sympathizes. He also restores and reconnects. Because of our sin, we needed someone to bring us to God. Someone to be our representative to God, and also to be God's representative to man. And the only person who could do that is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." The man Christ Jesus. Do you see how this is building a picture of the incarnation of God taking on human flesh? And these are just a few of the essential truths as to why knowing Jesus was fully man and fully God. This is why we celebrate Christmas. The fact is that this is the beginning of God's greatest plan of salvation and redemption. That we could be reconnected to God. Our representative, Jesus, stood in the gap. And he became our mediator. And he was our representative from God. And he connected us back with God through his own death, burial, and resurrection. Surely, surely you can start seeing why Simeon was getting excited. Because Simeon here took him in, this baby in his arms, this chubby-fingered, gurgling little baby. You think about this. This is not myth, okay? This really happened. A tiny, you know how babies are. Just so cute. Hands all over the place. Simeon took this baby in his hands. Cradled the Son of God in his arms. What does the first thing he does is praise God. He praises God. That's the first thing he does. And he basically says, "I can die now because my eyes have seen your salvation. The promise has been fulfilled. I can rest in peace because I have seen the fulfillment of the promise of the ages, and it's happened in my time. God's come through with this." And he sees it all in this child, in this baby. He gathers the baby in his arms. Can you imagine his thoughts? It's seeing this is God taking on human flesh, the Son of God, in my arms. The staggering thought of that, cradling the Son of God in his arms. This Christmas, just as Simeon gathered up the baby in his arms, let us be a people who gather up these truths, not in our arms, but in our hearts. Gather up these truths in our hearts, that God so loved us that he was willing to take on human flesh, to die in our place, to be the mediator between us and God. Gather up these thoughts this Christmas. Don't get distracted, but get excited about these wonderful truths and praise God. Praise God. Let your praise abound this Christmas season as you think about all that God has done through Christ Jesus. Not only do we see Simeon get excited, but Anna also get excited. This prophetess, she was married for 7 years, and then her husband dies. She's 84 years of age. She stayed in the temple. She's worshipping God. She's fasting. She's praying. She's seeking God. Her heart is, again, like Simeon, towards God. And then Anna comes along at that very moment. What does she do? She thanks God. She praises God. What else does she do? Well, we can tell she's excited because she gave thanks to God, verse 38, and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. The excitement is outworked in her telling others about Jesus. And that's how we can tell if we are excited about Jesus, is that you can't help but tell people about Jesus. It is the overflow of the heart that knows that they have been saved by grace, forgiven of their sins, their lives transformed, their eternal destination moved from darkness into light. Citizens of heaven. Now we keep our eyes on things above, not on earthly things below. We don't get distracted by the tinsel and the lights, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination saying we ignore that at all. I love tinsel and I love lights and I love Christmas. What I'm saying is the importance of keeping Jesus absolutely central this Christmas time. So she was excited. So in conclusion, you may have a lot on this week, in this week, this run-up to Christmas. You may have a list as long as your arm of things to do, presents to wrap, food to get, etc. But I implore you and I encourage you, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk on wine. I'm not saying any of you would. Don't get drunk on wine. Don't go to worldly stuff to get your joy and your freedom and your sense of being relaxed. Don't go to wine. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And also get excited. Look at the truths of the Old Testament prophecies. Look at the Christmas story. Read the Christmas story. Think about this. This has implications for you. That Jesus would come. God take on human flesh for us. Get filled and get excited. Let's stand. Let's pray, shall we?